This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'd like to welcome back all of our subscribers and new listeners, as I appreciate you all greatly. The show has continued to skyrocket up the charts, and it's definitely the sharing and the constant retweeting and posts and communication that I have with you guys as fans of the show, and your communication, always sharing. You know, that's where we're learning what you guys want to hear, is by you guys being involved in the show. So I can't thank you enough. You know, we had a great episode a week ago, part one with Sheets from the ABCA. I found the ABCA to be such an important event in the growth of my own show. I sure wish I would have discovered it when I was younger and was much more involved in the earlier stages of my coaching careers. I really felt like I could have benefited immensely from being just an observer, just a member, somebody that would attend and learn just like everybody else does there. Some of the greatest coaches in the country are attending these events and learning. So I'm looking forward to bringing you part two of that interview today with Sheets. But before we do, let's make sure you guys are checking us out at youthbaseballtalk.com. That's our interactive website. You guys will be able to go on there. You can listen to the current episode. You can listen to past episodes. Maybe if there's something that relates to something you're currently going through, I guarantee you we've probably discussed it on the show. Of course, we have all the videos from some of our contributors down the right side. Just great stuff as always. Twitter is a great way for us to stay connected with everybody. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. You know, if you follow us, we're going to follow you back. The show is for you. So if something's going on within the world of youth baseball and you guys want to talk about it, that's how we're going to do it. Facebook obviously is great. You're not limited to the 140 characters. You can put up some great videos. There's great stories. There's always great things that are happening within the game of youth baseball. That's a great way to share it. Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. And of course, I really do appreciate all the emails. They mean a lot to me. They help me stay on track with what it is you guys are wanting to talk about. info@youthbaseballtalk.com is where you'll find me there. Of course, subscriptions are the best way to stay in tune with what we're doing on the show. Of course, we're going to get on track with our Monday Morning Solutions. They'll start this Monday. That show will be released every Monday from here on out. And, of course, then we'll have the regular episode that will come out on Thursday nights. But to do that, you just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. Very simple. You'll be able to click the subscribe button. It is free. It also gives you the opportunity, and we really would appreciate a review of the show, as the only way we're going to get better is if you guys let us know if you like it. Very proud to be part of lineupmedia.fm. The lineup media group here continues to grow. There's tremendous shows coming out every day. I'm very proud of Pete Caliendo and his show, Baseball Outside the Box. It's another interesting view on sometimes prep baseball down to youth baseball. Pete does a good job. He's got such great connections. He's been all over the world with kids, traveling to some third world countries, playing baseball down in Central America. I mean, just amazing stuff that he does for these kids, and lets them get a perspective on what's really going on out there with the game of baseball on a national level. I believe Pete was in Japan this week with a group from the United States. So just great stuff as always. Whatever way you guys are doing it and getting the show out there, thank you so much. Sharing the show, whether it be through social media or just telling people about it, as we continue to experience the growth in the show, that has to be where it's coming from. And I do greatly appreciate it. Of course, as always, you know, shopping online has become, you know, so prevalent. I mean, everybody does it. So my guess is you are doing it at some juncture, especially all my baseball people, when it comes to bats and gloves and spikes, things like that. Some of the things that you get out there and you try to find a good price on. You know, we would appreciate it if you go to youthbaseballtalk.com, find that Amazon banner down on the right. If you click on that, you can do all your shopping through there. It costs you nothing extra, but we get a small referral and kind of helps us keep the show rolling along. So that's a little bit about us and what we're doing, and our beg of you to go to Amazon. Real excited too. I think I had mentioned before that when I found the ABCA last year, it was really easy for me because it was in Nashville. This year's event is going to be out in Anaheim, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, it's such a large event, and there's so much to do and learn. Really excited too. I think I had mentioned this during part one, that it sure looks like it's going to happen. I'm going to be partnering with Perfect pitch and throw, and their wonderful product, the Rope Trainer. I first saw it down in Nashville. I was kind of taken back by what it is and what it does. It's basically a much cleaner, nicer version and produces more for the athlete, but it's the old towel drill taken to another level. And what was amazing was when I got down there and I met Earl Perrin, who was one of the developers of the product and owns the company, they were endorsed by John Smoltz and Chris Verna, who had basically helped them come up with the product and made it so that it's usable in a variety of ways. And I'm happy to say that it looks like Perfect Pitch and Throw and their Rope Trainer is going to be a part of Youth Baseball Talk from here on out. I'm looking forward to that. We're working through the best way to get you guys the information on it. But for right now, just go to theropetrainer.com. As John Smoltz said in the interview that I did with Smoltzy when he was talking about the young arm epidemic and this wonderful product, everybody should have one, whether you're in the major leagues or you're in the little in youth leagues. It's an opportunity for you to save those bullets and get loose without wasting all those throws in the bullpen. So I'm real interested to get some guys' takes on it. It's such an amazing product right now. It's out there everywhere. So definitely give me your thoughts on it as I look forward to partnering with those guys as we move forward. And on the ABCA, I had a great talk last week with Sheets, as he has been tasked with being the liaison between college baseball and how they can improve, but he's also a big contributor to the ABCA and out promoting it and what it can do. Last week we learned a little bit about the ABCA, what it was, what it does. I wanted to take the conversation a little further for purposes of the show and talk about ABCA as they find themselves getting more involved in youth baseball. So for that, let's go to part two of my interview with Sheets, and I'll see you guys in a bit. We're back here with our man Sheets from the ABCA. I want to remind everybody to make sure they're checking out abca.org. Really great information in the first half of our interview. Learned a lot about Sheets, who he is, and a lot about the ABCA and what it's about. I want to dive a little bit more into some things because I think now we have people very interested. So, you know, let's tell them how they go about becoming, a member of ABCA and where we go from there. So why don't you touch a little bit about on the membership portion of becoming a member of ABCA and kind of what it like what you get. You know, what do you get? What's the end of the rainbow? Like, what do you get? But sure. I know you had mentioned before that, you know, once you're a part of it, you start gaining access to all this stuff that can help you become a better coach and more involved in the game of baseball. So tell us that how that works.
Absolutely. Well, our membership, we work extremely hard in our office to keep our dues as low as we can. We actually have the lowest professional or amateur sports coaching associational membership fees in the world. $45 is our annual fee. And with that, we've tried to add a very extensive membership package that, again, starts to really see the added benefit of joining what we're doing. So a couple things, obviously, be a member, you can attend our convention, which we've talked a lot about. If you do attend the convention, you do get access to every single clinic. It's video. And so you'll have a video account that you can access anytime, have all those that you were in attendance with. All those videos will be in your account. It's actually a $400 value, but it's just part of attending our convention. We talked about the networking, the professional development side of it that's there, obviously. We've also added a free personal liability insurance policy. So, and again, there's a lot of restrictions that go into it, but basically it covers yourself if there were a lawsuit, and God forbid that ever happens to any of our coaches. But that's actually over a $400 value that we include in your membership dues. The continuing education credits, I know a lot of the youth or high school guys are working towards those to improve those along with professional development. You know, we've got obviously a whole video website that you have access to that you get discounts off of. But we also do some stuff that I think is really cool. You get a weekly email that we call the press box that's full of articles that are really directly related to coaching or impacting players that our staff goes out and really finds throughout our internet and brings them back to us and puts us in a concise email. And you got some great messages throughout that are really good. We also do a Inside Pitch Magazine's our official magazine. That's just a great, great content. Adam Revelette and his group do a great job with that. And we send that out to our guys. We also have discounts on championship rings. We've got discounts on all kinds of stuff like that. But I think more importantly, especially for guys looking to move forward, you've got participation in our surveys. Whenever we do any type of legislational change or any type of rule change that's going on or guys want to get organized with, we do surveys. You have to be a member to be able to participate in those, but you got access to job postings and open dates, obviously our awards. There's just a lot to go into it, but we like to think, Jim, that package, when you look at it in its entirety, it's well worth $45. And we work extremely hard to keep those costs down. That way we can obviously, those coaches can maximize their dollars.
$45 is about the cost of a 30-minute hitting lesson around here.
There you go.
So there you go. No, it's great. And like I said, I think, again, you know, most of the people that are listening to my show, I know, are really interested in learning and getting better, or just overall, just, you know, that whole attitude, you know, the more information, the better. I'm just more educated, mm-hmm. you know, so that if something does come up or something happens, I'm at least somewhat knowledgeable and educated on the subject. So, you know, with everything you guys cover, I mean, it's a no-brainer in my opinion. It's a phenomenal membership plan from a great organization. Now, you know, as being a part of it, now you get into the fun, you know, the real fun thing, and that's the convention. So you guys move around, mm-hmm. I know, from year to year. Now, this year, who mm-hmm. doesn't want to go in January to Anaheim, right? And that's where you guys are going.
Right.
So I'm sure you guys, that was a tough decision to go to Anaheim in January. Not that, hey, Nashville was actually kind of nice last year. So it was no complaints there. But So if somebody's interested in going to the convention, what's the best way for them to do that?
Super easy way. Just jump on our website. We've got all the convention information. There's a drop down tab up there with convention. You obviously dive into just information about it in general, what a schedule would look like. January 5th through the 8th, we'll be there. And generally how each convention goes is the Thursday that we all arrive. It's check-in day. It's also a business meeting day. So between all the different levels that we cover and all the different groups that are in attendance, we have our own. We have our board meetings, our executive committee meetings. We've also got the different levels, and they have their business meetings. That's what usually Thursday is about, getting in. Everybody's checking in the hotel to get fired up to come into Friday morning, which we start at 8 a.m. We kick everything off. We really go clinics 8 to 5 o'clock, roughly in that range. We have the Hall of Fame banquet on Friday night. Again, coaches are free at that point to go connect with all their other coaching buddies. Saturday's exact replica, 8 to 5, full of clinics, and Hall of Fame lunch in the middle of that, which you referenced earlier. Same thing on Saturday night, connect with guys and throughout the hotel or outside our city. And then Sunday, we try to go in the morning from 8 to noon, gives guys a chance to catch that afternoon flight and get home or take off driving. So it's a full four-day weekend of just baseball knowledge. You know, again, like you said, this year we're excited to get out to Anaheim. We really feel like, you know, Nashville, we blew the numbers up. I mean, it's our biggest convention we've ever had, over 5,600. Right now is our biggest membership we've ever had, 8,300. And we're looking forward to turning it over into next year, because Anaheim just could provide a great opportunity based on the convention center, the arena we're doing the clinics in, obviously the setup that we have. Everything's in this nice, almost nip and tuck area that our coaches don't have to leave. They can all be engaged with the trade show, the registrational area, the clinic hall. So we're excited about that. But yeah, like you said, we try to move our convention around to stay in the big pockets of the country and reach as many coaches as we can. And I'll also give you some more insight, Jim. We've outgrown a lot of places. I mean, when I first got started, we had them in Philly and we had them in San Diego, and we've actually outgrown those cities. They don't have a convention center that we can actually fit into. So wow. It's a positive thing. So
that's a great good thing problem for to us. Have, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, with Anaheim this year, I think next year we go to Indianapolis, Indiana, which should be huge for us. We go back to Dallas, which is always a great convention. In 19 and 2020, we head back to Nashville, which is a slam dunk for us. And actually looking ahead, what could be even maybe our biggest, and we hope that our numbers just keep growing, but 2021 will be in Washington, D.C. for the very first time. So we're just trying to make sure we float around the country and we go to where our membership are, and we try to find places that everybody can drive to. Obviously enhances that convention experience. But yeah, that information is right there on our website. And obviously they could reach out to me directly if they've got questions. We'd love to help out and get as many people to experience what you walked into this past one in Nashville for sure.
No, again, amazing. And, you know, it's funny. I was just getting ready to ask you, and my guess is maybe you want to share, maybe you don't. I was interested to see who some of the speakers were this year. It doesn't look like you've made that official yet. Now, my gut tells me that's either A, you guys like to keep that a little closer to the vest until you get closer, or you're still locking some of those down. If regardless of whether I'm right or wrong about either one of those, is there a name you want to throw at us that we can look forward to, or is that something that's kind of on the hush-hush for now?
It is on the hush-hush for
okay.
right now.
I had a feeling.
Myself in hot water.
That's okay.
But you're dead on, Jim. We have our speakers lined up, and what we try to do is as we turn over our membership. So September 1st, we open up our brand new membership for 2016 and 17, and that first week we try to get all that information out. So we're opening up our membership, we're talking about convention, and within the first 3 to 5 days we'll put that new speaker list out. But you know, we've tried to incorporate a few of those guys throughout our podcast. If you want, you'll start to be able to connect dots as you go. But as we move forward, just about every speaker we have guest will be a speaker, just trying to highlight those guys that will create some more buildup towards the convention. So yes, around September 1st through the 5th, you'll see that release, and it is probably one of the best lineups we've had to date, and that's what we're trying to do each and every year.
Yeah, and it's an impressive list each and every year, the guys that you guys have talking. I mean, and it should be. So now I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I think I'm going to make the trek out, even though I know some people that think I'm crazy since it's a drive for me instead of a fly, but that's how much I think it's important. That's how important I think it is. That's how much I think it's worth. I really do. Besides the fact that come on, it's in Anaheim in January. Let's be realistic. But the truth of the matter is I feel like it's so important, especially if we're going to do this, do right. I'm going to try to get out. I'm going to do everything I can to get out there. And as long as it'll fit in my schedule to add the 2 days there and 2 days back of driving, I think it's something I need to do. So I'm looking forward to it as well. If you have the opportunity, I highly suggest it. I think that you'll be like, at first you'll almost be overwhelmed, and then you'll be like, man, this is so cool, but it's infectious. And that's the thing to me. It makes me want to, being around there made me want to learn. It made me want to get better. It made me want That's to awesome. Make sure that there were things that I were doing that were correct. It made me look into opportunities for my kids. Like I said, everything from the vendors to the information to just the fun setup, it was so worth it. And again, I can't even tell you when you get to Vendor Row. I mean, you will walk out of there with so many ideas of things for your team. And again, I don't care if you're 8 or if you're prep. I don't care if you're in college. You will walk out of there with so many new ideas and things that you can do with your club. So it is an amazing thing. Obviously this is a youth baseball talk show. So the majority of our listeners are from that younger realm. But we keep getting into the prep age because, we're fortunate enough to have some great people on. But for our younger people, we talked a little bit about how important the convention can be, obviously, for their coaches. Really, for anybody that wants to learn and get better, right? I mean, there's so much out there if you really want to go learn, right?
Sure, absolutely.
I think you guys have recognized the importance of that. So I think you understand that it's necessary and important. So you've started to do some things to kind of dive into that youth a little bit. One of the really cool things you guys are doing, and you briefly mentioned it in the first part of our interview, was the unveiling of your ABCA barnstorming clinics. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit more about those in depth and, tell us, what they're going to entail and really at the end of the day, what you're trying to accomplish with them.
Sure. So thankful you give me the opportunity to talk about it because we're so excited about this initiative. But to your first point, Dave Kylitz, who was our executive director for 20 years, did such a great job. And I always like to make sure I get this out for him because he did create the platform that's allowed us to build upon. I mean, our reputation in the baseball community based on his class and his professionalism and his attention to detail and everything he did has given us such a great name. But we've really done great for college and high school and travel coaches. We've just done a great job of building our association to that point. And we just see the benefit of really helping these youth guys out that we know are going to trickle its way up. It's going to make for better high school baseball, which will make for better college baseball. I mean, if you ask any college coach, the most important guy is that high school coach. He's got to give him the platform and the foundation to build upon once that kid enters up. And the high school coach would tell you it's the youth little league guy. And so we want to do a much better job of providing content and providing being almost the leadership vessel for those youth guys that they can look to, that they can connect with, that they'll be able to get content from. And Jim, the latest initiative we've come up with, which makes all the sense in the world, is taking what's best about the ABCA, which is our clinics. We hands down can get the best clinicians in the world to speak at our events. We're actually going to take those and we're going to take them on the road. So instead of you know, for instance, looking ahead to Anaheim, and sure, we want as many people to come to Anaheim as we can. We hope you jump in your car and you drive out to hang out with us. But at the same time, we need to take an effort, and it's almost a grassroots effort, to bring our clinic to the people, bring it to the masses, and get it in front of them. And what we like about it is that we're going to reach a lot more coaches than we would just rolling up in January, you know, running our convention and packing up and heading home. And you have a handful of coaches going, well, we didn't even know anything about it. And so it's to exhaust every effort we can to make sure that everyone on the West Coast knows what we're doing. And so what we tried to kind of do is put together these basically one-day clinics. And we're going to pick six cities. We've picked Seattle. We've picked Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Anaheim, and San Diego. Couldn't pick six bigger cities on the West Coast. And we're going to show up to their, literally their backyard for one day. And we're going to have a coaching clinic. And so what we've done is combine cities into weekends. And so Seattle and Portland, that'll be one weekend for us. We'll do an event in Portland on Saturday, Seattle on Sunday, or vice versa, and did it with the other cities as well. We're getting local college, travel, high school, junior college coaches in that area that are great clinicians that we know about. We're going to have them come in and speak. We're hosting them on great campuses, the University of Washington, University of Portland, San Diego State, Cal State Fullerton, University of San Francisco, UCLA, and utilizing their staff and their facility to create a almost a platform and to get in front of these coaches and go, look, man, we know what you're doing. We know it's volunteer. We know you don't make a lot of money, but here's some of the best in the game that want to give you information that you could literally, Jim, walk out, take notes, walk out of, go to practice that night, and implement right away. So it's not about, and I've been very forward with this with our coaches, it's not about this is what we do in our program, this is how smart I am. It's this is how you can affect that 12-year-old. Here's a drill that they'll love. Here's how you can teach pitching on the youth level, and here's some drills that we do to get to that would accomplish that for you, and give them content that they can directly use and apply to what they're doing. And so with this, we just believe that this is going to give us the blueprint to move it forward. And again, as we look to Indianapolis in 18, we want to build around Indianapolis. We're looking at several big cities. For instance, you got Louisville's a few hours away. You got St. Louis, Chicago's close. You've got all these big cities that we can do the exact same model. And again, it's about bringing what's best about what we do to the masses, reaching more coaches, obviously preaching the great word about the ABCA. But if you liked what you saw today, come hang out with us for 4 days and you'll be blown away. If you're a baseball rat like Jim and I are, come hang out with us and you'll see that, man, you just cannot believe, like you said, you're overwhelmed the first year. But year two, you've got a game plan walking into it, Jim. When you get out of your car and stretch for about half an hour and get all the kinks out, you've got a game plan on how to go attack convention because you've got that experience from last year to draw upon. And we just know that for the baseball rat out there, for the baseball coach that's looking to improve and learn and make himself better for his players, you have to be there. Can't miss a year. Got to be part of what we're doing.
You know, a couple things there. First, I want to touch on the not in order of importance. You keep talking about me stretching. I know you're in North Carolina, so you can just pick me up on the way, right? You're going to drive on over, right?
I could.
No,
okay. For sure.
All right. And then secondly, you mentioned something in when you were talking about these drills. You know, show them something they'll love. I mean, at the end of the day, when it comes to youth baseball, one of the things that we've got to start putting first and foremost on the front burner, and again, I'm going to get ripped again for saying this, but we got to back burner the wins a little bit at the youth age, and we got to start front burnering love of the game and development a little bit more. Now, again, I got to say this to keep people off my back. Nothing wrong with winning. I love winning. You play me in a pickup game or something, and I'm gonna do what I got to do to win because that's how I'm built. But not at the expense of the kids. Not at the expense of development. Not at the expense of health. Not at the expense of love for the game. And we're taking our adult mature mentality and our aggression and our love and our overlove, and we're just putting it on these kids' shoulders, and we're trying to make them do something at such a young age that needs to happen naturally. So we need to help mature that process, not jam it down their throat. So when you tell me that you're out there trying to find drills to help them love it, that they'll love to do versus that they'll hate to do, something that will help them versus something that might hurt them, that's where we got to get, you know, and that's why I'm hopeful. Go ahead. Go ahead, expand.
Well, I was going to say I'll jump all over that because you're now you're really scratching my itch because what I look at it is like this: when we give these clinics and when our coaches are up there providing information, I've hit them with every, and we hope this is what the product looks like. But I've hit them all with, hey, you know those really fun drills you do at camp? You know when you have youth camp, and I know I've done 1,000 youth camps, and I've got this little almost drill book in my back pocket or in the back of my mind that I know are tried and true drills or activities that kids think are the funnest or the funniest or the best drills you could ever throw at them. And it blows their mind. It gets them laughing. It gets them giggling, but they learn the point. They have fun doing it. It's not just, hey, we're going to hit off a tee for 30 minutes here, guys, get as many swings as you can. And by minute 7, they're chasing each other around with bats trying to smack each other. It's like, no, let's give them a competition. Make everything you're doing competition. Now you've got their focus. Now you've got their attention. And I always go back to this, to your point, if we don't do a great job on the youth level, and again, most certainly appreciate what those guys do and most all of them volunteering their time or making little to no money doing it, we appreciate that. But if we don't do a great job on the youth level of getting these kids fired up about baseball, and not, you know, lost in wins and losses, but more just love the game, love what it's about, love, you know, the feel off the bat, the feel of making a great catch, of praise by my coaches or my teammates. If we're not getting them fired up, and I mean this jokingly, but seriously, they're going to go play soccer. Because at the end of the day, at youth soccer, at the end of each game, I've seen it, Jim, they form this big bridge, and this is nothing against soccer. They form this big bridge and all the kids run through it. And at the very end, there's somebody passing out Capri Suns and orange slices and everybody feels great and everybody's a winner. And it's like that's the culture they've provided. And our culture's gotten a little bit away from that. And it's gotten more into making it, like you said, it's more of an adult game and on kid level. And that's what drives them away. That's what forces them to go play something else. Or it's just not as fun for me anymore. When back when you and I played, and I'm only 35, but back when I played, there was nothing better than baseball. There was no better feel to me than winning a baseball game or connecting on a double, scoring a run, making a big play. And we've got to bring that fire and intensity to the clinics, which again, to youth baseball, and make that at the forefront of the mission. I'll give you a quick example. You're talking about safety and stuff earlier. Troy Silva and Jose Rio Berger, two guys I'm very close with out in Rio Athletics out in Washington.
Love those guys.
Oh, man, it does not get any better than those two on a personal level, but also what they're doing professionally. And just pick up the phone and talk to Jose about what they're doing with their teams, and that from, you know, on up to 13 years old, those kids don't throw curveballs. And he goes, but you would think I'm sacrificing winning, right? I'm sacrificing that to keep my kids safe, which, by the way, all data shows us that there's damage to be done to elbows, especially if it's repeated over and over. So we don't do it. We see that the data says it's going to hurt them. They're not grown yet to be able to really handle that stress. We just eliminate them. But you know what our kids can do at 13? They've mastered the fastball location. They know what a changeup feels like, and they got feel for it when they throw it. Now they're starting to mix in breaking balls. And by the way, 9 through 12, we're still winning tournaments because our kids can locate fastballs better than anybody, and they know how to change speed. So it just goes back to doing it for the right reasons, but more importantly, making it as fun as you can. And in that, in taking care of the process, it sounds just like a college coach, but taking care of the process of making sure it's fun, you're doing it the right way, will give you the results you're looking for. But to your point, I 100% agree. We've got to make it more fun for our guys, keep those kids involved in our game, and just watch where it grows, because we need to increase those numbers in youth baseball because they've got too many things that are taking them in different directions. So we need to do our part as coaches to enhance that for them.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We're here with Sheets from the ABCA wrapping up here. I got one question for you on your way out the door. Great stuff. Love everything you guys are doing. Can't thank you enough for what you're doing all the way across the board, especially obviously for personal reasons. Your guys, it looks like, commitment to diving into the youth ranks and helping us all get better, right? On the surface, the one issue in youth baseball that you think we got to fix, what is it?
I think probably exactly that. I think there's a cultural aspect that's really changed. I was thinking about this weekend, Jim, because it's, you know, and I wonder why Chelsea yells at me all the time that I'm not listening. It's because my brain just, I start going different directions.
Welcome to the club.
yeah, I mean, it's part of it, I guess. But my brain just starts going into all these different areas that man, I really want to address and have the platform to now address. But I'm really concerned at how, like you said, how that competition's really come all the way back down, and now there's 5U travel baseball. And that's not an absolute shot at what's going on. I'm concerned that it's taking it maybe a step too far, and it's gotten away from even the recreational side of things, that the local city recreational league that was just fun. It was about playing with all the buddies from across town, and we all got together and yeah, you got to dig on each other when you won and you lost, but it wasn't forcing these parents to spend a lot of money to go accomplish that. And so I just think our we need to really address that culture and maybe take a step back and to your point, really get back into what keeps them involved in our game. And I was having a conversation with a high school coach about this is, you know, in terms of practice time, you just don't see it on that travel ball. But how many of those kids really know the game? So now we're, as college coaches, recruiting these guys, and they show up, and we expect them to know what to do with nobody out and a runner on first, or one out and a runner on second. It's like, do you know what this at bat needs to be about, or are we just swinging? And now you're rolling over and hitting a ground ball to shortstop, and he stays at second, and you're out, and there's two outs. Like, well, did you have a game plan? Did you know the game? And that's the part I think it needs to be addressed more completely with on the youth level, is really taking pride in teaching the game and arming your kids with knowledge of the game and just preparing them to, when they move forward, they've had such a great foundation to build upon that they're going to go out and be great. Results aside, they're going to be great because they love and appreciate what our game's about. So anyway, that'd be something that I would definitely want to address and hope we can all work together to do that, because that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think they have a term for that now, and it's amazing that there's a term for it, and I think they call them showcase warriors. I mean, it's a real term.
Sure.
You know, it's real. There are lots of kids out there that can do this and that, but they can't play. You know, mm-hmm. And that's not a – it is what it is, you know. So, I want – and those kids obviously have talent, right? I mean,
sure.
Those kids are obviously majorly talented. So, gosh, I mean, let's teach them the game. Really great stuff, Sheets. I'm real impressed with what you guys are doing. Again, make sure you check out abca.org. You have a great podcast yourself called Calls from the Clubhouse, you know, connecting coaches with the best minds in baseball. If anybody can do that, it's you guys. I mean, I'm, you know, very humbled for you to be on my show today. And you know, I don't look at it like we're in competition. Our show is here to provide information. If you guys got good information, I want people to check you out. So make sure you check that out. Calls from the Clubhouse, presented by the ABCA. Just great stuff. I mean, I can't thank you enough for being here today.
But I'm more than thankful for the opportunity. And to your point, and most certainly, because we're not in competition with each other, we're trying to better the game. And so I think any avenue or platform that's out there looking to help coaches, help parents, help players, we're all on the same team. And so I cannot be thankful or more thankful to sit down with you and talk. And I really look forward to connecting with you even more.
Well, you know, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I also, as I mentioned before, appreciate you guys jumping into the youth game and diving in a little deeper and giving everybody some help out there. And if there's ever anything I can do, I mean, I'd love to stay in contact with you and possibly work together on a few things and just try to use our resources to help everybody we can. So let's stay in touch, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
No, fantastic. That was Sheets from the ABCA. Make sure you check them out, abca.org. It's second part of our interview, just, you know, great information. And I wanted to go two segments with Sheets there because there's so much to talk about. And again, I mean, it's so hard in 30 to 45 minutes, 50 minutes total what it was. I mean, you literally could talk about this thing for a week and still not cover everything. So the best advice I can give you is make sure you go to abca.org. It's a very extensive website, and it should be because they have a lot of stuff to offer. So depending on whatever your role is within the game of baseball, a parent, player, fan, coach, aspiring, whatever it is, I guarantee you that if you want to know something, go to that website. And at the very least, you'll find out what to do and where to go to get better. So make sure you're checking them out. If you get the opportunity, obviously I'm going to suggest that you go to the convention, but it all starts with becoming a member. I mean, that's probably the easiest way, because you become a part of something and you have access to all this wonderful information that they're passing down. So make sure you're checking them out, abca.org, and we can't thank Sheets enough. I can promise you, I didn't put him on the hook for this on the line, but I'm when you know, you guys heard from Adam Rosales last week, he and I are committed to bringing the Sandlot mentality back to youth baseball, and I can't think of a better organization than the ABCA to try to get on board with us and spread that message. And I'd bet a dime to a dollar every day of the week and twice on Sunday that they're right there with us in building that. So, you know, I would love for you guys to make sure you check them out and become a member of the ABCA. Great stuff as always. Can't thank him enough. And again, what a great event. It's where I met our good friends from Perfect Pitch and Throw and their wonderful product, the Rope Trainer, and what it's going to do for young arms out there and old arms. I mean, anybody that needs to make sure that we're protecting that arm. Make sure you check them out, theropetrainer.com. You can get yours today. It's just a quality product. When you see it, you're going to be like, holy cow. And you're going to get to learn about it by going to the website, why it's a good product, why it's for you, what it does, what it can do for you, so, and how to use it. So I look forward to working more with those guys. I know Coach Earl Perrin is a great guy that came up with this revolutionary idea in conjunction with Chris Verna, the wonderful and famous trainer, really. I mean, the guy's trained some of the greatest athletes in the world, and it's one thing to get them where they need to be. It's another thing to keep them on the field with the stress these guys put on their body. So he's an amazing guy at what he does. And, of course, John Smoltz and his ability to reach people. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, we're a society and a culture that if a guy that's done it and been through the wars is going to tell us we need to think about this, we're going to think about it more. That's why I respect John Smoltz for probably taking one of the most important moments of his life. I mean, what an accomplishment. You're going in the Hall of Fame, and you're so concerned with something that's going on that you can't. I mean, the guy obviously really just couldn't not take a moment and say, I see something going on that's wrong and we got to fix it. So hats off to John Smoltz, a consummate professional and of course, obviously a very well thought of man throughout baseball, and rightfully so. So again, thanks to Sheets for being on today. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to hear, of course, from our great instructors, Justin Stone from Elitebaseball.tv, Rick Strickland from the St. Louis Pirates and his strict hitting rehab, and of course, everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball is brought to you by The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com. See you on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back from our break there. Thanks for sticking with us. It's time now to go over to our wonderful panel of experts that we go to each and every week here on Youth Baseball Talk. And, of course, we always want to start with our main man, Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball, brought to you by The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you go to thepitchhitter.com. Again, I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. If I would have had one of these when my kid was 8, 9 years old, he could have had a blast with it in the backyard, could have set it up anywhere. You know, the worst thing in the world is to sit there and watch a poor 9, 10-year-old kid not be able to throw strikes, especially when they throw them in the bullpen. The Pitch Hitter at thepitchhitter.com will help you get through that without pulling all your hair out for some of you that still have some left. So make sure you check it out, thepitchhitter.com. Here's our man, Domingo Ayala, in his theory of baseball, as he tells us all about the utility man and his importance in the game of baseball. Take it away, Domingo.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? It's good to be back on the show. And thank you to the Pitch Hitter for helping me be this good. Now, I've been watching a lot of baseball, and I'm really starting to notice the utility guy. For those of you who don't really know about the utility guy, this is a player that can do anything for the team. You can have him play infield, outfield, play catcher, and probably even pitcher. If someone gets hurt and you need to put someone in really quick, you can throw the utility guy in there. Unfortunately for the utility guy, he never gets noticed. He can play every position and be pretty good, but he's usually not the best player at any one position. And for that reason, no one pays attention. You see, Jim, every team needs the utility guy, but no one wants to be one. It's mostly because they do all the hard work, but never get the glory. You don't see a utility guy making $20 million a year. Instead, it's a utility guy that replaces a $20 million player after the team realizes they wasted money. This is also the guy who finished his career playing about 13 different teams in 15 years. He'd probably been more productive than most of the players in the league, but do the team care? No. As soon as the season over, they sign another player for $40 million to replace him. So I have a lot of respect for the utility guy, and I hope you do too. Well, that's what I got for today, Jim. Thanks for having me on, and thank you to the Pitch Hitter for helping young players throw more strikes.
Good stuff as always, Domingo. We can always count on you to keep it in perspective. So thank you very much, Domingo, and special thanks to The Pitch Hitter, thepitchhitter.com. They bring you Domingo each and every week, and it's just a fantastic tool and aid for your little slugger. Speaking of sluggers, let's go out and hear from our good friend Justin Stone with Elite Baseball and his Majestic Corner Tip of the Week, brought to you by EliteBaseball.tv. This week, Justin's going to tell us a little bit about fall development and the four and some of the lower body parts that need to sometimes be adjusted, and how the fall is a great time for that. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim, and this is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv. Last week, we talked about the fall being the best time for development and coming up with a specific plan, criticizing yourself on what you need, and then developing a plan of how you're going to get better. So a lot of times with swing mechanics and the faults that we recognize throughout a summer season, you'll have a list of, I roll the ball over too much, I'm pulling my head off the ball, I struggle with an outside pitch. And we see so many of those being upper body or hands oriented that we forget that it's the lower body that often results in upper body errors. So what we're gonna talk about today, as you start your fall development once again, is some checkpoints of not overlooking these lower body cues in order to get the rest of the swing sequence correct. Now, in some shape or form over the course of the last year, we've probably mentioned many of these in the podcast, but in different parts, in talking about different areas of the swing. So here I'm gonna give you a comprehensive list of some lower body checkpoints to look for to give yourself a chance to have the best swing mechanics and a correct swing sequence. Number one, a very brief reminder on your instep pressure. The swing starts from the instep of the back shoe and eventually is going to work against the instep of the front shoe. But we have to maintain instep pressure into the ground for a few different reasons. Number one, this is what stay back means, body control. The ability to slowly conduct my body forward and in advance in an under control way is something that's even important to the best big leaguers. You see a player that we have in town here right now, Jason Hayward for the Cubs, a guy that is consistently rushing too fast in his tempo, usually because he starts too late, but at the same time, this is one of the areas that even upper level players have to work on, slowing their body down in the advance. And that begins with instep pressure. Number two, that pressure has to stay in the instep and not roll to the outside part of the shoe for your lower body sequence to be on time. We want the legs to fire first. You hear that over and over again, but how do you get it to happen? Oftentimes, players get overloaded or they start in a poor position in their stance with knee over ankle and pressure to the outside part of the leg and the outside part of the shoe. So even if they should get back to a powerful position, knee inside ankle, that move often happens late and we already have an upper body that started to rotate before my legs have. So there you have an upper body that's going to be pulling off the ball, and we have now a swing that's reversed its sequence, upper body down, and is never going to have your most power. If you have instep pressure, the back knee and stride foot will advance together. This is a traditional stride, and there are other styles that vary from this. But as a youth player and trying to be simple, we want to think of the back knee, belly button, and stride foot working together at the same time. This is going to begin tightening the body's coil. During the forward advance, as my body gains ground, we're going to start to tighten that coil through the rear glute and through the rear hip. As I'm gaining ground, you'll see young players that go from this back knee and stride foot advancing together to what we call a reach. Here my stride foot is advancing, but my backside's not. So we get back into that situation where the lower body is firing late because it takes time for the reach and then to shift to center, if that even happens at all, or a reach and they just spin on the backside. There are big league hitters that use the style of the reach in advance. Ian Kinsler, Evan Longoria. But we're talking about extremely advanced hitters in a style that is very, very difficult. To me, that's the most difficult style to time up. I wouldn't want an 8 or 9 year old practicing this and failing on a regular basis. If a player could do it, then I would leave them alone. But very rarely do we have a player that can control the body in that reach and shift to center. Maybe the biggest error I see with youth players at the foot down position is width and depth. For my lower body to be active and strong in a swing, I've got to put it in a strong position. So I see younger players that often get too narrow and as a result are too tall at their foot down position. I want to get them out to a position at the youth level, it's about 50% of their height. It's basically their basketball defensive stance with depth in their legs. How much depth in their legs? Enough that my glutes, my hamstrings, and my quads are all active and firing. For me as an adult hitter, and if you're watching this video right now, you'll see I can be in a slightly knees bent position, but right now I feel nothing in my glutes, hamstrings, or quads. Until I sink about 3 inches lower, now I feel all of those things firing. With our best big league hitters, when you see them at the foot down position, they all have depth into the ground, pressure against the ground. The legs are active and firing, and we're going to get those muscles to work first in the swing. If I'm up on stilts, or if I don't have pressure into the ground with width and depth, then we're not going to get the lower body to fire first. The shoulders are going to take over once again, and we have a reverse sequence. At some point in my learning and then teaching career, it became a huge no-no for players to get wide at their foot down position. Everybody was worried about overstriding, and in a youth baseball game, you can hear that all the time. But in my teaching and dealing with thousands of kids throughout the year, I can probably count on one hand how many players actually get too wide at foot down, and it's a plethora, probably 50% or more first time in instruction where players are too narrow and too tall at the foot down position, not even giving their legs a chance to be active and strong in the swing. Once we get to our foot down position, it's essential that our entire front shoe gets down into the ground for us to use our legs efficiently. I see a lot of players at the youth age that stride to their tiptoe and stay on their tiptoe through rotation and never get their front heel into the ground. We have to get to a secure heel plant. That foot will end up being somewhere near a 45 oftentimes when you're rotating and will probably come open more as it has to as your hips completely turn. However, it's important that shoe gets into the ground and stays into the ground as we turn. Sometimes at the end of hip rotation, you'll see that foot start to turn to its side, and that's completely normal in a non-teach. But we need to get to a secure heel plant if you're going to fully utilize your legs in the swing. So there you have it, four simple checkpoints in your lower body that are essential for correct lower body mechanics. If in error in any of those four areas, the upper body is going to compensate, as it always does. And then we have a swing that's upper body dominant instead of using the biggest muscles of the body to start your swing sequence. When we're talking about youth athletes that are not fully developed, we need to utilize the strongest muscles of the body to have a strong and consistent swing. So don't overlook those four checkpoints of lower body mechanics, and you're going to have yourself a much easier time of getting the barrel to the baseball in a correct swing path with consistency. Until next time, I'm Justin Stone from ElitePaceball.tv. If you want to look for those specific swing errors, check out our drill filter on ElitePaceball.tv and find very simple drills you can follow for the specific error that you're looking for.
Great stuff as always from Justin, and we do appreciate Majestic for bringing us that Coach's Corner. And of course, great stuff as always on ElitePaceball.tv. That'd be the best $97 a year you guys ever spend if you subscribe to Justin's channel there. The information that he provides each and every week is so easy to use, whether your kid's 8 years old or 18 years old. If you're in the big, he's worked with, like I said, young kids all the way up to major leaguers. So good stuff as always from the guys up there at Elite. Here locally in St. Louis, nobody better than my main man, Rick Strickland. Let's go over and hear the Sandlot recruitment tip of the week with Rick as he starts talking a little bit about the new classes that come in, especially with freshmen, and maybe some of the pressures they have with recruitment and where they sit. Take it away, Rick.
Hey, Jim, as usual, it's a pleasure to be back again on the show this week. And just a couple things I'll touch briefly about this week. As issues arise, in our business and community, I'd like to share some of that information because it's important that people who don't have access to resources like what we have at this point in time, and maybe parents are going through this for the first time. We know that we have a lot of these 2020s, and when I call them 2020s, it's the graduating year of the class. So this would be incoming freshmen, kids that are just taking their first freshman class this week or next week, whenever they start school. We have these young aspiring baseball players or athletes for that matter, but I really want to focus in on kind of the recruitment process for those guys. So over the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen a steady stream of young athletes that are freshmen going into sophomore year, maybe before they start their junior year, start to get recruited and offered scholarship opportunities for baseball programs across the country. And it's gotten, it's almost an epidemic kind of at this point in time where guys are going out and offering scholarships to people at this point. What it does for us a little bit is it causes a little bit of chaos and confusion because, it really kind of sends a message that if you don't get a scholarship offer when you're an eighth grader or a freshman in high school, that you're not going to have an opportunity to play collegiate baseball. That's not the case. What we have is, and we've had three of them in our program this year that are going to be 2019s, they're going to go ahead into the sophomore year, have been offered opportunities to play at Division I level schools, major Division I level schools. And we had a number of them that have garnered interest from a variety of schools as well. Well, what happens to the vast majority of people who aren't on the radar of schools at that point? One of the things we'd like to make to our parents in our program at this point in time is that you're on the team with these kids that are being recruited at this point in time. And what these coaches are saying to you is that you're not quite ready yet to be offered an opportunity to accept or decline a Division I level offer. It doesn't mean that you won't be. It just means at this point in time in your development, you're not ready yet. And when you look at that, that's probably the case for about 95% of the general population at this point. So what you really see is probably the top 5% of the athletes getting that kind of consideration. And it doesn't mean that those kids are going to be the best players 3 years from now. It is where they are in their development at this point. Guys are projecting that through the next 2 or 3 years, these guys will continue to get better. and definitely be one of, be at the highest end of a prospect line when they get to be juniors and seniors in college. It doesn't always work out that way. But my advice for parents is don't get consumed with that. Your recruitment will happen when it's supposed to happen. You can't force it to happen any earlier than that. And that's generally the disappointment and heartbreak that we hear amongst parents at this point in time is, you know, what about my kid? My response usually is, what about him? When is he going to get recruited? And my answer is, he'll get recruited when he's ready to get recruited. Now, on the flip side of that, if you're going into your senior year and you haven't had a whole lot of Division I level interest at this point, based upon how recruitment is going, it's probably the chances of being a Division I athlete out of high school probably shrinks at this point. Doesn't totally go away. But yeah, these guys have already had commitments for their 2016 graduating class or 17 class for the last couple of years. And unless somebody pops on that scale that's really, really a difference maker on a hot, or they lose a specific position, they're looking for one spot, then you're going to find a lot of schools that are looking for that. But what it really says is about the opportunities that are out there, not necessarily at the Division I level, but probably at the Division II or Division III level, which a lot of people frown upon. But, you know, as a professional scout, we don't really care where the talent comes from, whether it's high school, Division I, Division II, Division III. If the kid, we feel like a kid is capable of playing at that next level, that's where the coaches are going to scout him at. But you look at this, and I remember having a conversation with a parent a few years ago when we were talking about education, and the parent was totally naive about education. And we had this conversation about Division I, Division I, Division I. The dad said, you know, well, the quality of education goes down to Division III. And I said, well, listen to this. Wash U is a Division III school. Would you want your kid to go there? And then it really resonated on him that you can get a quality education from a lot of schools that aren't Division I level schools. So we don't want all of our guys to get wrapped up. The guys that we have in our program, the Division I level players, we're going to make sure they get opportunities to get exposed to those schools. Eventually, over time, we start to find out the athlete to Division II and Division III. The only way really to be able to know that is not necessarily through performance, but a combination of performance, testing, things of that nature. And that's something that we offer to all of our players and our customers over at Sandlot Elite Gym. So anybody who's interested in getting a score to kind of get some feedback as to what level of athlete their kid is, give us a call over at 314-775-4953, or you can reach us on our site at sandlotelite.com, www.sandlotelite.com. As always, Jim, it's a pleasure to be on the show. I know I get the ramble every week, but these are important points I'd like to share with the community. Thanks again for having me, Jim. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Rick. Good stuff as always. And I can't even imagine. I mean, 14 years old. I don't know who I'm taking to. I don't know if I'm going to have a date for homecoming, but yet I'm supposed to figure out where I'm going to go to college. It's such a tough thing sometimes. And I think sometimes as parents, we think we're helping, but the reality of it is we might be putting too much on these kids occasionally. And just because one kid every blue moon can handle it doesn't mean that they all can. So make sure you understand everything that goes with it. It's a little bit more than just, you know, a neat story. I mean, sometimes kids, they need to be brought along at a good pace as opposed to having everything thrown at them at once. So, you know, that recruitment process, that's a whole nother show. And it's actually inspired me as I've taken some notes here. I'd sure like to get on a few of these guys that have been through that and went through that process. On that note, I'm looking forward to next week's episode as I actually bring in a guy who's a local kid who found himself heavily recruited right out of our area here. There were talks of being drafted and just his unlimited potential. And he was kind enough to sit in studio with us before he went. He wound up accepting a scholarship to Oklahoma State to play baseball, a very fine school. And I asked Trey to come in before he left to kind of give us some insight into what it was really like in that recruitment process and kind of when he first realized as a young man that he could play this game with some sort of success and some of the things he went through. So looking forward to bringing you that episode next week. Until that time, make sure you're checking us out at youthbaseballtalk.com. Of course, we hope you're following us at Twitter. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk where you'll find us on Facebook. And of course, keep the emails coming, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. Really enjoyed bringing you the show this week. As always, appreciate all my partnerships out there. Pitchhitter.com. Looking forward to working with the Rope Trainer, ropetrainer.com. Of course, elitebaseball.tv and their wonderful stuff that they provide each and every week. Can't thank Domingo enough. And, of course, my good friend Rick Strickland over with the St. Louis Pirates. Very, very fortunate and lucky to have everybody involved in the show each and every week, as I hope you enjoy listening to them. So look forward to seeing everybody again next week. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Spend some time with friends and family. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.